Revival's coming to this nation, amen? And we're so blessed to have him today. Please stand to your feet and give a massive New Hope welcome to Pastor Alejandro Arias.
Praise God. Awesome. It's wonderful to have a family, and it's even more wonderful to have a church family. I think when we think of Christmas, we think of family. And for those who don't have their family nearby, your church family is your family. All of us are one family. So look around and, you know, see the amazing family you have. Look around and smile to someone with a big Colgate smile and let them know, hey, we're all celebrating Jesus in this room. Come on. Big Colgate smile. Say, we are all celebrating Jesus. Amen. Christmas is about getting together. It's about celebrating the most wonderful gift that Jesus gave us, and his salvation. And I am so blessed to be here at New Hope, our church. And we believe the Lord is going to do amazing things here in Brisbane and all throughout Australia. We are so happy to be based here and believe, God, that the best is yet to come. Come on. The best is yet to come. And we're so happy to have found this beautiful family. We thank you for your prayers and your support and for making us feel so welcome and embracing us. As you know, we are traveling preachers. We travel all over the place. But the last few weeks, the Lord has had me on an unwanted holiday. Evangelists don't like holidays, but when the Lord gives you a holiday, you just take it. And when I said I want it, it's because I don't want it. I'm the kind of evangelist that want to be on the go every day or every Sunday. You know what I'm saying? But I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I have enjoyed just spending time with the family the last few weeks. And it's been amazing just having this time of rest and coming to church and just receiving. How many of you know that receiving is always good? Come on. And so I've enjoyed it. And my family has enjoyed it. And in January, we're starting back again with all the you know, ministry traveling. So I'm going to be, you know, preaching here in the city. Locally, we're having our first evangelism conference in the city of Brisbane, where we will be equipping evangelists and people who have the gift of evangelism. And we're going to be giving you more information about that. We're having another one here at New Hope. We're having one in March, first week of March. It will be our Declare Conference here in Brisbane. I believe God is going to equip a new generation of people that are not afraid to testify. You know, I believe Australians are ready for the gospel. Come on. You believe that? I believe there is an opportunity, a window of time right now to preach the gospel, to witness, and let everybody know about our loving Savior. And we got to be heavenly people with a heavenly mandate because we have a heavenly God. Amen. So this week has been an amazing week. And I tell you why. Well, it's been an amazing week. And I've had a few experiences like being chased by a magpie the other day. While I was doing my daily exercise. Daily, I just started a few weeks ago. Not that I'm, you know, that fit or athletic. But the Lord has been, you know, reminding me that I have to take care of this temple. I mean, if you know, agree with that, right? So I've been, my goal, and this is not my New Year's resolution because I started it before the New Year. So my goal is to do 10,000 steps. And the other day I did 7,000 steps. And I was really, really proud of myself. I'm like, wow, way to go. 7,000 steps. That's awesome, you know? And but the community where we live, you know, we have all these walkways everywhere and all these beautiful lakes in North Lakes. Have you been to North Lakes? It's just so conducive to go for long walks. I love it, you know. And you see all these beautiful, you know, birds. But then, you know, I don't know what I was thinking. I heard something and then I felt like a bird was chasing me. And it was, oh my goodness, let me tell you something. I actually felt the wings actually, like the feathers flicking my ear. It came that close. So that magpie was going to have me for breakfast, but thank God, I'm exaggerating here. But anyway, you know what a magpie can do, right? It can drill a nice hole, right? So they're vicious little birds. But anyway, and the second thing that happened this week, and I'm going to have to remind myself, the next time I go to a restaurant, if I want a lemonade, I have to be very, very specific. I have to say squash or lemon in, lemon in my water, because if I say lemonade, I'm going to get Sprite. So there you go. That's a business idea for anyone here who's looking for a business. If you want to open your own lemonade business, you got to think about that. Anyway, and something really amazing happened this week. I was able to, I did the first few minutes. I didn't fly this plane, but I was able to do the takeoff. My friend Chris has got he's a pilot for Jetstar, and he's got a plane, and his, dream, his vision is to start up an airline, another airline in Australia, because he believes that, we need to have more airlines in this nation, right? So anyways, he's starting up with this little fleet. Like, it's got now two aircraft. It's got a fleet, and he's believing God. And, you got to start somewhere. Hello? When you got a vision, you got a dream, you got to start somewhere, right? So he invited me to fly his aircraft, and I was so pumped up. And, I'm there, and he's like, telling me, when I tell you do this, you got to do it, and don't be afraid. And I'm all excited because this has been like my life dream, to be in the cockpit. I've flown thousands of hours in more than 48 nations around the world, but I've never been inside the cockpit. And so having that opportunity was thrilling, to say the least. It was amazing. But I didn't feel like I was flying. He was next to me, and he was doing all, all the work. But, God actually taught me a lesson while I was flying with him. And I thought I didn't fly. I didn't do the takeoff. I'm like, I didn't do anything. I was just, I'm holding this, I'm holding the, I don't know what you call it, the, not the wheel, but the control, right? So here we have a pilot in the house. So I'm holding the control, and I'm thinking, I'm not doing anything, because you have to be so gentle with that control. And the guy, he's like, okay, when I tell you pull it, just pull it gently. And I'm pulling it. I'm terrified. I'm also praying, And I'm thinking, if I do it too hard, we're going to the nose is going to go, the way up, or something is going to happen. But anyway, at the end of the flight, I'm like, well, I didn't really hear what you said, and I wasn't sure what I was doing. I was just holding onto that control for dear life, And he's like, no, mate, you flew the plane. You did the takeoff. I was hardly touching it. You did great. And the Holy Spirit taught me a lesson. He said, when you are being led by me, you just have to trust me that I'm there next to you and that I am flying this plane. Hello? Isn't that awesome? Come on, church. So you got to trust God. We are the co-pilots. He's the pilot. Hello? I mean, I would say we are the flight crew. He's like the pilot, and the Holy Spirit is the co-pilot. Amen? So we got to trust God. Because if we don't trust God, failure is going to be, unfortunately, if we don't trust God, what happens is we go through all these fears and, emotional battles. And then we experience failure. But God wants us to, he wants us to experience victory and breakthrough. And failure is not your falling point. Failure is just a learning step. It's just a learning season. You may think, well, I fail. But God says, you didn't fail. I'm going to get you back up. Let's do it again. Come on. You may think I fail, but God says you didn't. Because I have more opportunities for you. I want to bless you. When you understand the grace of God, when you understand the gift of grace, a lot of people are very judgmental and critical in the kingdom of God. But God is such a gracious God. And he wants us to be gracious as well. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, and I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Now, we're honored to be here, and my wife is somewhere in the house, and, you know, she's going to be speaking here, second week of January. She'll be speaking here, and so today I think she's worrying about all the things, but, you know, we're very honored to be here in the house. At the end, we have some resources. We have her book, Revelation Ready. If you haven't read her book, it's fascinating. It's amazing. It's a great essay on the end times. So you got to get a hold of that book because it's going to equip you and teach you how to prepare for the times we're living in. Amen. And by the way, happy Hanukkah. Hallelujah. Come on. Happy Hanukkah. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus is our light, and we just got to follow him. The Bible says we are the light of the world. Amen. So I'm excited about this Hanukkah. I think it's prophetic. And what's happening around the world, it's all prophetic. Jesus is coming. But I'm telling you, we are living in such an exciting generation, in such an exciting time. There is no better time than this one. No better time. I'm telling you, the apostles, the disciples are wishing to be here. Because this is the time the apostle Paul, Peter, spoke about. This is the time. Amen? So my message today is understanding our heavenly nature. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. I like to read a different version, and I've been reading the Amplified version. It sort of breaks it down even more. And it says in the Amplified version, I love it how it says, how it breaks it down. Just as in his love, he chose us in Christ, actually selected us for himself as his own, before the foundation of the world so that we would be holy, that is, consecrated, number one, set apart for him, number two, purpose-driven, number three, and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace and favor, which he so freely bestowed on us in the beloved, his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So, number one, we are chosen vessels. We are his own, and this speaks of belonging. We belong. When you think about belonging, you got to think about the kingdom of God. We belong. This is our family. We belong to the church. This is the kingdom. We belong to the kingdom. When God speaks about us being chosen, it is speaking of belonging. You belong to a family. You belong to a greater kingdom. You belong to the church. You belong to the greater body of Christ. So you belong somewhere. You are not disconnected. You are not just, you're not an orphan. In the kingdom of God, we don't have orphans. And if you have an orphan spirit, you got to deal with that. Because God is such a gracious father. And even if you didn't have a good upbringing, or you didn't have a good father, a good mother, God can take on that, you know, on that role. And when you go through inner healing and deliverance, God actually is your father. He becomes your father. And when you embrace him as your father, and when you embrace him as that, you know, person in your life that you never had, God is going to take on that role, and he's going to take it seriously because God is the God of covenant. Say with me, covenant. And when God makes a covenant, he doesn't just say a word or utter a word. He makes a covenant and he fulfills that covenant. So God takes very seriously engaging in that relationship with you because he loves you. And one of God's love languages is quality time. Hello? How many of you have heard of the five love languages? You know, quality time. You know, your credit card. No, that's not a love language. But, you know, gift giving. You know, spending time. I have three women in my life. You know, my wife and my two daughters. And I'm learning that they have very different love languages. You know, Rebecca has a very different love language as opposed to Carielle. Carielle love language, and I think I'm going to have to ask God to bless me with tons of money, because Carielle's love language is gift giving. She loves to be generous. She loves to bless people. She loves to always give and give and give. She's always putting stuff in bags and giving it away, you know, toys and stuff. Like, that's her love language, right? And her love language is quality time. So I have two quality timers in the house, Rebecca and Carielle. So movies, you know, going to the park, going for a stroll around the park, you know, all of that is part of that love language, quality time. Have you understood the love language of your Heavenly Father? Have you come to learn his love language? Or are you just going to church and ticking the boxes and doing church just as part of your Christian life? Or are you actually developing and building a relationship that is meaningful and significant here in this planet? You're not just living a life in the church, but you are taking the kingdom of God everywhere you go. You are not just a Christian by name, by tag, or title, but you are a Christian because you carry the power of God. And you are a Christian out there in the grocery store, out there at the bank, out there in the world, out there at the shopping center. You are a Christian because you reflect Christ, and everything you do speaks of the presence of God that is in you. Come on. Everything you do represents Christ in you. Everything you do represents the love of Christ, the anointing, the Holy Spirit. So you're not just a Christian because you like to be called a Christian. You are a Christian because you're a follower of Jesus. You spend time with him. You look like him. You know, when the disciples were called Christians in Ephesus, the reason they were called Christians is because the secular men of that time, the Romans and the Ephesians, they heard him speak. They heard him talk. They heard them how they, you know, conduct themselves. And they said, well, these guys remind us of Jesus. These guys remind us of Jesus. They speak like Jesus. They walk like Jesus. And they actually do the same things that Jesus did. The Bible says that we can do greater things than he did. How many of you believe that we can do greater things? How many of you believe that we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit? How many of you believe that we belong? We belong to the church. We belong to the kingdom. We belong to a family. We're not alone. We're not forsaken. One of the greatest lies the enemy is going to try time after time after time to sell you is that you are alone. That you're doing this alone. That you're battling alone. That you're walking alone. That nobody cares and nobody is there for you. But when you are a mature believer, you don't need someone to come and shake your hand and give you a hug to feel the love of God. You don't need someone to come and check on you and call you to see if you're okay. You don't need someone to come and give you a hug so that you can feel the love of God. You know that Jesus loves you. You know the word of God is for you. You know the promises of God. You stand by the word of God, and you're not going to be shallow because you didn't get that revelation or you didn't get that, you know, that understanding. You've got to understand God loves you. He wants us to be, you know, he wants us to belong. Tell your neighbor you belong somewhere. I believe you belong to this church. I believe you belong to this family. I believe you belong to the kingdom. I believe you belong to the greater kingdom, the greater body of Christ. You belong somewhere. You're not a lone ranger. You're not doing this alone. You're not, you know, you're not there alone. You're not battling alone. You're not, see, the spirit of depression is tackling the church. The spirit of depression is coming down on believers, leaders, Christians all over the world who are thinking, I'm doing this alone. And that's the spirit of depression in this world and in this new age. In this time we're living in, you know, the world says depression is a sickness and depression is this and it's a mental illness and you have to deal with it because it's a mental illness. But can I suggest that depression is not just a mental illness, but it's a spirit. And when you pray in the spirit, that spirit of depression can leave you forever. That spirit of depression can be cast out and you can be set free and you can live the best life in Jesus. Come on. Because you belong somewhere. You belong to His family. You belong to the kingdom. You are a child of the Most High God. You are precious. You are redeemed. You are chosen. You are washed by the blood of Jesus. You are righteous. You are His. You're God's royal army. Come on. I feel the Joel Austin anointing coming upon me. Grab your Bible and look at your Bible and say, I'm chosen and, you know, I belong. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holiness. It's a lifestyle, not a sacrificial behavioral change. Holiness. It's a lifestyle, not a sacrificial behavioral change. You don't change your behavior just because you want to be holy. The Lord is changing you every day. And holiness becomes part of your nature. Holiness becomes who, you know, you walk in holiness. You embrace holiness. You know, all of a sudden, you're going to stop doing the things you did in the world because now you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And every time you feel like swearing, there's someone reminding you, hey, yeah, hold on. Because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so out of a fountain, you know, out of one fountain, we can't have two sources of water. We can't have sweet and bitter water. We can only have one. Hello? So holiness is going to become part of who you are. It's not going to be a daily exercise where you're like, oh, I got to, you know, nail this flesh on the cross and I got to be holy and I got to put on my holiness, mask and I got to do something that makes people believe I'm holy. No, it doesn't work like that. The more time you spend with your Father, the more time you spend in His presence, the more time you spend in the Holy of Holies, the more time you spend in the secret place, the more time you spend with God, with Jesus, then the more God is going to develop your character and the more God is going to build you up and the more you're going to look like Him. Because the disciples didn't look like Him when they were first called. They were actually very critical. They were unbelievers. They were, you know, they were men. They were vessels of clay. They were difficult man. Imagine Peter. And let's talk about Peter. Hello? You know, Jesus had to basically rebuke him. You know, Peter, you know, very compassionately, he's trying to stop Jesus from going to the cross. He's like, I will give my life if it takes for me to give my life. I will give my life. I will give it all. And Jesus said, depart from me, Satan. And he wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking, imagine if your pastor says, depart from me, Satan. That's it. You're writing off for the rest of your life. Hello? Imagine if your Bible school teacher looks at you and says, depart from me, Satan. That's it. Just stop going to that Bible school. Because, see, when we read the scripture, we think that Jesus is actually talking to Peter. He's not. He's talking to the spirit that is operating in Peter that is driving Peter to say that, because obviously Peter was compassionate. He wanted to stop Jesus because he loved spending time hanging out with Jesus so much that he just wanted to make this last for many, 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 many decades. But Jesus said, I have to go to the cross. I have to die. But that's not the end goal. I'm not just dying and staying on that cross. I'm going to be raised from the dead on the third day, and I'm going to defeat Satan, and I'm going to take captivity captive, come on, and I'm going to defeat sickness, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to sign off on the covenant, and I'm going to give you a better covenant, and now you're going to get to enjoy a better relationship with my Father, because the bridge was broken, but now I have rebuilt the bridge, because through my blood you can come into my presence and you can have a relationship with me. Come on, church. When we understand that we are vessels, we have a lot of flaws. We have a lot of imperfections. We have a lot of issues in our life. Hello? Don't look for the perfect church. You will not find it. If you find it, let me know. I'll go and join you. Hello? Don't look for the latest flavor. Don't look, you know, a lot of people are always looking and looking and looking. But I'm telling you, when you have that sense of I belong, then you are settled in your spirit. When you have that sense that we belong to the kingdom. We belong to a family. We belong to a house. When you have that sense of I belong, I am a chosen one. I am not just an accident. I'm not, things in my life are not happening by coincidence. No, God has arranged everything in my life. And I believe that if I obey him and follow his word, I'm going to be blessed. Because the fruit of obedience is blessing. Amen. Walking in your heavenly nature, knowing that you belong, knowing that holiness is not a behavior change, but is a lifestyle. You don't just do the things you did. You don't practice the same things. You know how many times it's not because we want to be holier than thou, but we have walked out of many movie theaters, Rebecca and I, because we've been convicted, and now we don't waste our money and our time, and we don't go to the movie theaters anymore because we have a choice. We can make a choice. Hello? And so, do I want to sit there and edify my spirit with something that, I mean, I'm not going to even edify my spirit. But do I want to sit there and just feed my spirit with something that is not even going to build me up? Hello? I mean, the world is literally mocking our faith. The world is literally mocking our Jesus, our Savior. You know, Netflix, they just came up with this movie where, you know, Jesus is playing this character, and he's a gay, and, you know, and Mary is a prostitute, and all this nonsense, you know, is rubbish. And so I started a campaign on Facebook with my friends, and then I shared a petition that I saw on another website. And let me tell you something. Millions of people are dumping Netflix right now because we don't want to. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to give my money to something that is going to dishonor my Savior. Hello? If they did something like that to Muhammad or to one of those religious leaders in the world, I mean, God forbid, we would see riots, we would see protests, we would see this on fire. But because we are Christians, we can just take it. No, I'm not going to let the world dishonor my Savior. They can say anything about anybody. They can say anything about Hillsong or any church. But when it comes to my Savior, I'm going to stand for my Savior. How many of you are willing to stand for your Savior? And someone said, well, you don't have to stand for Jesus. Jesus is big enough. Yeah, but I want my life, even with my friends and my family, I want my life to be an example that I am different, that I'm not part of this world, that I'm not part of the system, that I'm a child of God, that I belong to the kingdom, that the kingdom has a different set of rules. And I don't live under the law. I enjoy His grace. I don't have to live under the law. I'm not under the law, but I enjoy giving, not because I am under the law, but because it's a principle in the kingdom of God, and so I give. I raise my hands and I worship, not because I'm under the law, because it's a principle in the kingdom of God. And I know when I raise my hands, something happens in my spirit. My spirit rejoices. Heavens open. The glory of God comes and fills my heart, and I feel more connected to God. I enjoy dancing, not because I'm under the law, but because when I do it, I feel freedom. And it's an expression of freedom. I enjoy tithing, not because I'm under the law, but because I know that if I can trust God with my 10%, God will give me 90% back, and He will protect that 90% and keep it safe. And I know the best investment I can make in this world is investing in the kingdom of God and investing in souls. Come on. I enjoy living for the Lord, not because I'm under the law, but because I'm His. We are God's people. Holiness. We're set apart. We're predestined. 1 Jeremiah chapter 1:8. You know, if you want to read it, it says, I chose you since you were in your mother's womb. And I put my word, I gave you my word. And you will tear down and destroy. Jeremiah 1:8. I don't know if you want to be not afraid of then. Their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. If you want to keep rolling that scripture. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Keep rolling it. See, I have this day appointed you to the oversight of the nations. Come on, how many of you believe that? And of the kingdoms, to root out and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Come on, keep rolling it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch, a shoot of an almond tree, the emblem of alertness and activity blossoming in late winter. Now, that's amazing right there. Because we got to be ready. We got to be alert. God has given you a calling that is greater than any other calling you can have in this world. You are part of a generation that's going to see a lot of time, a lot of prophetic words, a lot of end time prophetic events happening before your eyes. Death and sickness has no power over you because Jesus defeated death and sickness on the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 and 57. God has predestined you to see His glory. You know, I mean, how many of you have come to a point in your life where you know that everything happens for a reason? How many of you have come to a point of understanding that you are not an accident and everything you do is driven and led by the Holy Spirit? How many of you know that God has no coincidences, but He has divine incidents? I call them God incidents. How many of you want to have a God incident in your life? I want to have divine appointments because divine appointments will give me favor, and favor will draw the blessing. See, I'm not going after the blessing anymore, because if I'm going after God, the blessing is coming after me. Come on, if you're going after the kingdom, if you're going after His presence, if you're going after the anointing, if you're spending time with God, three things are going to happen in your life. Number one, God is going to build a lifestyle of holiness. Number two, your character is going to be built to a point where you are going to be a Christ-like man and woman. And number three, the blessings of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are going to follow you every day. Come on. No matter how many trials and persecution and hardships and tribulation we go through in this world, one thing I know for sure is that I'm not forsaken. I have the Holy Spirit leading me. I have angels walking by my side. I'm not afraid because the Word of God says, fear not. There is a word in the Bible, fear not, more than 365 times printed, fear not. God has given me a word every day, and I should not be afraid of anything because I know He's going before you and before me, and God has given us a great victory. Come on, church. We believe, you know, when you're predestined, no matter what path in your life you take, no matter what decisions you make, when you are destined to see His glory, God is going to find you at the lowest point in your life. God is going to encounter you even when you are running from Him. You can go and hide in the ocean. You can go, David said, I can hide in the mountains. I can hide anywhere and you will find me. Can I share this story with you? I was in Poland a few years ago. And I was having some healing meetings. And the pastor, he was he was very passionate. And very much aware of the need of revival in this province, the northern part of Poland, in a small town. His son had walked away from the Lord. He had been away from church, and he had been doing his own stuff, and he was on his way to becoming a very well-known soccer player. He was practicing, and he joined a league, and he was doing really well. He was actually in the minor league, and he was getting a lot of money and a lot of promotion. A lot of offers were coming his way, and he was doing really well. And he started just, walking away from God completely. You know, that is hard for PKs to follow the Lord unless they have an encounter with God. And, by PKs, I mean pastor's kids, right? It's hard to follow, unless you have an encounter with Christ. And so this guy, he came to my meeting reluctantly. He had had an injury. He had two injuries, actually. The first one he sustained in his knee basically shattered all possibilities of him playing soccer again for the rest of his life. But then he got better, he recovered, and he went, he went through therapy and all of that rehab, and then he got better, and then he started playing again, but then he started doing the same things, playing with drugs and playing with, playing in the nightclubs and doing this and doing that and playing in the world, living a worldly life. And then he had a second injury. And the second injury pretty much destroyed his knee to the point that he was going to be in crutches for a long, long time. And the doctor basically said, you were lucky before, now you're done. You will no longer play soccer for the rest of your life. That's it, boy. Your dreams of playing soccer are shattered. They're done. You are done. And he was depressed. He was actually suicidal. He came to the meeting with his crutches, and he was sitting there. He had this anger in his face, this look of anger, and he was there reluctantly. He didn't want to come to the meeting. He actually, a friend of him brought him to the meeting because God was doing some incredible miracles, and he was sitting there, and everybody was, when you're in a meeting and people are getting healed and God is moving and things are happening, and you're waiting, and this guy was waiting, and the pastor was waiting for that moment. People were leaving after they were prayed over, and God just waited until the very last minute to deal with this guy. And I wish that God would have healed him like when there was 200 people in the building. It would have been like, wow, it would have been amazing. It would have lifted their faith. But God waited until the end to deal with this guy. And he was sitting there, and we were packing up, and the leaders and everybody, they were all, packing up and getting ready to leave. And I approached him and I said, can I pray for you? He's like, sure. He spoke English, so I was able to communicate. I laid my hands on him. The power of God came upon him. This boy started shaking so badly. The power of God was so strong upon this young man. He got up. He started shaking. We took the crutch because, we were concerned. And then the power of God came, hit him. He got slain in the spirit. Have you ever heard that term before? He got knocked out by the power of God. This guy had never been knocked out like that. And he hadn't been in church, a few years. So this was a real, genuine encounter with the Holy Spirit. He is knocked out by the power of God. He is laying on the floor. He's crying. And then he gets up and he's totally healed. His knee is completely healed. He let go of his crutches. And he's like, this guy's sporty. He was a soccer player. He's like, I want to go for a run. I'm like, go, boy. Go. Run around the field. He went, he ran around the park, came back inside, he lifted his hands, was like, I'm totally healed. You know, he's totally healed. And Paul is just saying, you know, obviously they're translating for me, but he's like, I'm healed, I'm healed. There's no pain. And guess what? The reason I say we are predestined is because God knows our lives. Like the back of our hands, and even better. He knows everything about us. This boy, this young man was called to the ministry 2 years later. God called him from playing soccer into the ministry, and now he is doing crusades in Poland where he is gathering 2,000-3,000 people in stadiums in Poland preaching about the love of Jesus. Come on. So what he couldn't do in the world, God knew he was going to be called to do this down the road. And so, see, you can go through the valley of death. You can go through the valley of sickness. You can go through the valley of loneliness and depression. But I have good news for you. You will overcome. You will overcome not because you can do it in your own strength. You will overcome because God has given you a promise. Because God has given you a covenant. Because you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You will overcome because the promises of God are yes and amen. You will overcome because the promise of God are for you and your family. Come on, church. I said you will overcome. You will overcome death. You will overcome sickness. You will overcome pain. You will overcome depression. You will overcome discouragement. You will overcome anything in this world. All you need to do is get up and walk. All you need to do is get up, like, you know, like the angel said to Elijah, just, you know, have a meal, go to sleep, get up. And then he reminded him again, like, you know, have a meal, you know, rest, and then keep going. And Elijah felt like he was on his own. And then he got into that cave. And he's like, you know, he's almost complaining. He's whinging. He's like, everybody has left me. I'm the only one. I'm the only holy one in this city. And God says, no, 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 no. I'm going to burst your bubble. I have 7,000 people out there that have not bowed down to Baal. And they have not compromised. Now get over your silliness and go and serve me. Hello? You know that God actually literally, if you read that in the original, like in the Hebrew, when God said, get up and go, he doesn't just say get up and go, he said get over yourself. Hello? If your pastor says to you, get over yourself, you'll walk out. Like, show me the door. Where is the door? I'm offended. I'm deeply offended. You know, Pastor Matt, I wonder how many people, if Jesus was alive today, how many people would his preaching offend today? Hello? And like, I'm offended. When you know who you are, you belong somewhere. When you know who you are, you're not afraid. When you know who you are, your identity is rooted in the Word of God, rooted in the promises of God. When you know who you are, you're like the heavenly man. Have you ever read this book, The Heavenly Man? How many of you have read it? I have a short description here, a short just narration of this chapter. I was so hungry for a Bible. Seeing my desperation, my mother remembered an old man who lived in another village. This man had been a pastor before the Cultural Revolution. Together, we started out the long walk to his home. When we found him, we told him our desire. We longed to see a Bible. Do you have one? Oh, when I read this really shakes my spirit. He immediately looked fearful. This man had already spent nearly 20 years in prison for his faith. He looked at me and saw that I was so young and poor with tattered clothes and bare feet. He felt compassion, but still didn't want to show me his Bible. Imagine that. I don't blame him, because in those days there were very few Bibles in the whole of China. Nobody was allowed to read any book other than Mao's little, did I pronounce him right? Mao's little red book. If caught with a Bible, it would be burned, and the owner's whole family would be severely beaten in the middle of the village. The old pastor simply told me, the Bible is a heavenly book. If you want one, you will need to pray to the God of heaven. Only he can provide you a heavenly book. Wow. The other day I saw a video on Facebook of persecuted Christians in China rejoicing when they had a delivery of Bibles. And this guy was opening the box and it was like a Christmas party. All these persecuted Christians came around. They were like, you know, speaking in tongues, crying, you know, praying, rejoicing because they had been praying for a Bible. We take for granted a Bible in the West. We take for granted the Holy Scriptures. In fact, we don't need to pray for a Bible because we can download it. Hello? So the need of praying for a Bible is no longer there. I mean, how many of you have prayed for a Bible? Hello? Can I have a survey? How many of you have prayed for a Bible? You don't pray for a Bible because you can download it to your phone. If you have prayed for a Bible and you don't have one, see me at the end and we'll give you one. Yeah, the Bible is available to everyone. It's available in more than 200 or, I mean, not 200. We went to the Museum of the Bible a few years ago. It's available in like 2,000 translations right now. I mean, but there is like, I don't know how many thousands of groups, native groups, that haven't had their Bible translated to their native language. But the Bible is available. Hello? The question is, for us here living in the West, are we living the Bible? Are we walking with a heavenly mandate? Are we being a heavenly people? Are we walking with a heavenly anointing? Are we belonging somewhere? Are we doing something that is significant rather than just warming up a pew and going to church and ticking the boxes? Are we living an extraordinary life that nobody else can deny it because we are seeing miracles? Come on. Are we living an undeniable life of faith and miracles? Are we living a supernatural life? How many of you love Sid Roth? Do you like him? I love his phrase at the end of the show. You know, this is natural, supernatural, something like that, right? We got to live a natural, supernatural life. And what does that mean? What does that entail? How can I live a supernatural yet natural life? You know what that means? That means when you are eating, when you are having a meal with your family, and the Holy Spirit reminds you that there is someone in the room who needs a word. And you open your mouth and you let God speak because it's not you speaking, it's God. The Lord is going to take over your mouth. You know, this Christmas, you're going to see a lot of your relatives. And some of them need the Lord. And some of them need a word of knowledge. And some of them may need healing. And so don't be afraid. Don't hold back because you have the greatest gospel. You have the greatest message. You have the greatest anointing. And it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when you do it in faith, you will see wonders. Hello? When Peter stepped out of the boat and he was being called by Jesus, do you think in that moment he, you know, panicked? No, otherwise he would have never stepped out of the boat. Hello? Do you think in that moment he was terrified? Do you think in that moment he doubted? He stepped out. He started walking on water. He got close to Jesus. He was having a supernatural encounter, but he had his eyes fixed on Jesus. He was following the heavenly man. And when he got this close, I know it's going to be awkward. It's all right. He got this close. But the moment he stopped looking at Jesus and he got distracted and he started looking around and he stopped looking at Jesus for a second and he then turned around and started looking at the waves and started looking at, you know, he felt terrified. In that moment, fear drowned him. Fear became overwhelming. And in that moment, he started looking at the circumstances, at the elements around him. Then he started drowning, sinking. Hello? We can't have a heavenly life if we are looking at the elements. We gotta look. We gotta have our eyes fixed on Jesus. Come on, church. Come on, church. If you want to see miracles, if you want to see signs and wonders in the workplace, don't look at the elements. Don't read people's faces. Because, you know, if you're trying to read their reaction, you're going to be so offended. And you're going to be so shut down that you'll be like, I don't ever want to preach the gospel. Why? Because people have spirits and their spirits are reacting to the words you're speaking. And so if you're trying to read their reaction, they're giving me the happy face. Oh, they're giving me a loving face. Oh, they're giving me a sweet face. Oh, maybe I have a door. Maybe I have a way to kind of drill in the gospel and bring it on. No, don't wait for a response. You know, I've been preaching for 20 years and I'm looking at your faces and I don't care if you smile or don't smile because I know that the word is being sown. Come on. I know the word is going into your spirit and is producing a fruit that is going to change you. And after this meeting, you're going to be like, I want to become a heavenly man. I'm already a heavenly man, but I have to accept and embrace my assignment. Hello? Now, we live in this world. How many of you know you live in this world? Hello? You watch telly. Hello? You serve the internet. You're on Facebook. You live in this world. How can you be heavenly in this world? Let thy will be done and thy kingdom come. Is it a switch that you flick on and off? Is it a mask that you put on? Is it a persona that you embrace? Oh, I'm a Christian. Hello? I'm a Holy Ghost Bible speaking, but you know, tongue speaking believer. I'm on fire. Do you become like Superman? Do you have your uniform somewhere put away, tucked away, and every time you want to cast out demons and heal the sick, you go and find it and put it on? Oh, yes, I'm anointed, Son of the living God. I'm anointed. I have the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Or do you actually live and walk and wear that uniform every single day? Hello? You actually sleep on it. Hello? And he never gets dirty. And he never gets smelly, praise God. And it never gets sweaty. It never gets bad. Or why? Because it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit living in you. You are a heavenly man. You are a heavenly woman. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in you. Come on. When you embrace your heavenly nature, you don't just flick a switch. Oh, I'm prophetic now. Let's prophesy. You are prophetic by nature. You speak. The Bible says we partially speak and we partially prophesy. Hello? Oh, I'm anointed now. Now I'm ready to pray for people. No, you carry the anointing. The question is, are you willing to operate in it? Are you willing to walk in the assignments that God has given you? Are you willing to do what God is calling you to? What God is calling you to do? You are predestined to see His glory. When I was 8 years old, I was playing with, you know, koala teddy bears in my room, with one koala teddy bear, and I had no idea that God was going to call me to the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. And I was playing, and not just playing, but I was preaching to this koala teddy bear, and I was laying hands on my toys. I used to have revival meetings with my toys. I used to line them up and lay hands on the toys, and they would all fall under the power of God. Thank God. I had my best charismatic meetings with my teddy bears and my toys. I was in preparation. I was in preparation. God was training me. And then one day I had an opportunity to talk to someone. I was at the bus stop and this lady was sitting next to me. I had just finished school. I was sitting, you know, waiting for the bus, and I'm talking to this lady, you know, and I knew she was a devout Catholic. She had the rosary, you know, she had the devout Catholic. So I'm looking at her and thinking, maybe I have an opportunity here. So I began to preach. I began to share my testimony. I was healed of a deadly tumor when I was 8. The doctors gave up on me, but I'm a living miracle because Jesus healed me. Jesus, heal me. And so I was telling her about my miracle story. And she's like, oh, boy, oh, wow, that's awesome. Oh, you're just such a sweet boy. And, she's like, encouraging me. And then I led her to the Lord. And she grabbed a few coins of her purse and gave them to me. That was my first love offering. And I bought a strawberry milk or something with that. I went to the market and I bought strawberry milk. And I was so happy that I was, being used by God to lead others. When I got to that age, 11 years old, and the Lord was preparing me and training me for full-time ministry, I never thought it was going to come that soon. I had received many prophetic words over the years that I was going to preach the gospel, that I was going to stop counting the amount of, places and airports, and that I was going to meet, presidents and politicians, and I was going to step into places. And all of those words have come to pass to some degree. And these words were actually coming from the throne room. Because when a word comes from the throne room, you know in your spirit. And that word is going to come to pass. Because you are meant to walk in destiny. How many of you walk in destiny here? And so when you walk in destiny, no matter how many near misses you have in your life, Jesus is going to help you overcome. I almost died a couple of years ago of malaria in Nigeria. I was dying. People thought I had food poisoning. They were treating me for food poisoning for several hours, and I was dying. Rebecca wasn't there. You weren't there, honey. We were living in Melbourne at that point. And she was reminded by the Lord. In that moment, she's driving, and the Lord speaks to her. How many of you know that there is no barriers in the kingdom? There is no cellular barriers or, telephone barriers, that the Lord can speak to you even if you're on the other side of the world. Hello? Amen? The Lord speaks to her. Pray, your husband is dying. And I'm in Nigeria and I'm being treated for food poisoning. And it's not food poisoning, it's malaria. And I'm dying, they're putting blankets on me, like 3-4 blankets. And there's a point when you have malaria that your body goes from freezing to almost like you are frozen. Like the fever is so bad that your body shuts down and you begin to shake really bad because you no longer feel the fever. You're almost freezing to death. It's horrible. And I'm laying in this bed, and I'm praying. It was 3:00 in the morning, and I see an angel standing outside the room. The angel came, grabbed my hand, and he said, "You will not die, but you will live. You will not die because I have a calling in your life." All of the symptoms, the fever, the shaking, the pain, the aches, everything left in that very moment because God gave me a word. And in that very moment, it was like God, he brought life back to my body. He breathed, the breath of God. I just felt like I was resuscitated in the spirit. And I came back and I opened my eyes and all of it. All of the symptoms were gone in that moment. Because when you have destiny, no matter what you face in this world, you will overcome. You can face death, you will overcome. You can be involved in a tragic car accident, you will overcome. How many of you have had near misses? Raise your hand. How many of you have had tragic car accidents? Raise your hand. How many of you are here and you know you're a miracle? You're a heavenly man. You're a heavenly woman. You walk in the spirit. You have a different nature. You have a different character. You have a different personality. Don't embrace the things that the enemy wants you to embrace. Embrace the kingdom. Father, we thank you. Come on, embrace the kingdom today. Embrace the kingdom today. Embrace his promises. Embrace his word. Embrace the divine nature that is in you. You have a very, when you think about it, and you look at yourself in the mirror, you're not what the enemy is saying you are. You're loving, you're compassionate. You have a very compassionate heart. You know, you were saying, I'm not compassionate. Someone said, I'm not compassionate, but you know, that's not true. You are compassionate. You just got to bring it out. It's in you. Someone said, I'm not easily, you know, generous in this way or another. That's not true. You have a heavenly nature in you. And the Spirit of God is generous. The Spirit of God is compassionate. The Spirit of God is loving. The Spirit of God is joyful. The Spirit of God, that's all in you. You just got to bring it out. Come on, tell your neighbor, bring the best out of you. Come on. Come on, smile to your neighbor and shake him up because he's falling asleep probably. No. Nobody's falling asleep here. Hallelujah. The anointing is here. Come on, shake your neighbor and say, the Spirit of God is in you. And bring the best out of you. Don't let the enemy to compromise the calling, the destiny that you have. Don't let the enemy to compromise the destiny. You're a heavenly man. God is going to prosper you. He's going to use you mightily. You're a heavenly man. And when you understand that, nothing can stop you. No evil can defeat you. No evil can overwhelm you because you know you're living in this world. But you are going to a heavenly destination very soon. Come on. Come on. Jesus will come back for a glorious church, a powerful church, a church that is walking in signs and wonders, not a church that is trying to escape. Oh, the world is getting too hard. We need to go. God, I have a trail of a credit card debt and a mortgage debt and all this debt. I want you to return so that I can leave all this behind. No, Jesus is not coming back for a church that is walking in debt and in misery and that is walking defeated. Jesus is coming back for a church that is walking in signs and wonders, a church that is walking in the Spirit, a church that is loving, that is generous, that is gracious, that is reaching out to the community and the nations, a church that is committed to the long-term dream of God. We thank you, Father. Jesus died on the cross for you. Let's all just close our eyes for a moment. Father, we thank you for the anointing that is in this place. You know, Jesus died on the cross for you, and he wants to give you eternal life. The best gift you can receive in this Christmas is the gift of salvation. Nobody else can save you. Nobody else can redeem you but Jesus. The best gift you can receive in this world is eternal life. And eternal life comes by you finding Jesus. And I want to ask you, I want to invite you, I want to extend this invitation so that you have this opportunity to open your heart and say, Jesus, I welcome you into my heart. I know you have a calling for my life. How many times have you come near death? How many times have you come near experiences in your life that could have tragically changed your life and your destiny? But God spared you. God protected you. God came through. How many times do you have experiences in your life that could have changed the course of life completely? But God came through. How many times do you have experiences in your life where you thought you had lost it all? Where you thought you were going to quit and give up and just throw it all? But God came through. How many times did you find yourself in a room thinking, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. How many times did you find yourself in a place where you were overwhelmed and you were confronted by sickness? You were confronted by depression, by these evil spirits of this world, and you said, I'm not going to make it. But God came through. God came through. God came through. God is faithful. He is faithful. God came through. How many times did you have enough money just to pay for the bus ticket, but you didn't have any money for anything else? But God came through.
How many times were you experiencing such a financial struggle that you didn't have anything left, but God came through? How many times were you on the point of giving up? God came through. Today, Jesus wants to give you an invitation. He wants to extend an invitation. He wants you to know He loves you. He died for you on the cross. He shed His blood so that you can receive eternal life. And nothing in this world is better than following Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to invite Him into your heart. I'm not preaching religion. I'm not offering a religion in this house, in this church. I'm offering a path that is going to build your relationship with God, that is going to build you and build your life with Christ. So say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. Come into my heart. I acknowledge You're my Savior. You're my Lord. You died for me on the cross. Thank You for shedding Your blood. Thank You for the eternal gift of salvation. Thank You. Thank You. I surrender. I come to You. I acknowledge You're my Savior. Amen. If you said this prayer for the first time in your life, or if you have recommitted your life to Christ, if you have recommitted your life and you have embraced faith again, please just raise your hand so that we can pray for you. God bless you. Has anybody else recommitted their life to Jesus this morning? Has anybody else accepted Jesus this morning? Anybody else? You know, Jesus wants to give you, God bless you, He wants to give you the best life. Pastor Matt.
Let's give a big hand for Pastor Alejandro.